This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of Gilmore Guys is brought to you by Southern Comfort 100 Proof Liquor. Now, what is Southern Comfort 100 Proof Liquor? Well, I'm going to tell you. It's a fruit, spice, and whiskey-flavored liquor that was created in New Orleans by a bartender named M.W. Heron in 1874. So it's got a history, this rich history to it, all right? Are you enjoying it? Are you getting into this tale yet? And today, it is enjoyed by friends in over 100 countries around the world and continues to grow as an icon brand. So if you're looking for a fresh start after being jaded by spirits that promise you smooth, easy-to-make cocktails but turn into a complicated nonsense scenario with long, needy drink recipes, look no further than a trusted and loyal spirit that's a perfect match for your favorite cocktails, and that is Southern Comfort 100. With a distinguished taste, flavor profile, and unique blend of fruit and spices, Southern Comfort 100 Proof is a sophisticated spirit without the bite. It's the flavor of whiskey made comfortable. This would be a perfect pairing for like one of those Gilmore Girls like junk food movie nights. You got the Pop-Tarts, you got the gummy worms, you got the popcorn, you got three different kinds of popcorn, and then you got Southern Comfort 100 Proof liquor. It's great on its own, or it can be exquisitely paired in cocktails ranging from simple pairings to more handcrafted classics like an Old Fashioned or a Manhattan or a Sidecar or maybe even a Rory. Maybe you can make like an extreme version of a Rory using Southern Comfort 100 Proof. You guys know what a Rory is from 607, right? For more information on Southern Comfort 100 Proof, visit southerncomfort.com or go to their Twitter, which is at Southern Comfort. Southern Comfort reminds you to live comfortably, drink responsibly. This episode of Gilmore Guys is brought to you by blah, 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 Squarespace. That was supposed to be a drum roll. It did not sound like that. It sounded like I was having a problem. But guys, listen, guys, girls, if you need to build a website, don't even mess with anyone else. Just go to squarespace.com. They got it all. They got the stuff you want to give that beautiful look to that website. You see a beautiful website in your day-to-day life and you're like, oh dang, bro, I wish I could have a website like that. Well, you can, and you can make it yourself using Squarespace. Squarespace has sites that look professionally designed regardless of skill level, no coding required. They got intuitive and easy to use tools, and you get a free domain if you sign up for a year. So start your free trial today at squarespace.com. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code GilmoreGuys, that's all one word, to get 10% off your first purchase. We love Squarespace here at Gilmore Guys. We used it to make GilmoreGuysShow.com, where you can check out tour info, and our bios and press and fun stuff like that. And it looks great because we made it using Squarespace. So once again, that URL is squarespace.com. Use the offer code GilmoreGuys to get 10% off your first purchase.
Oh, it's like a recording.
That Lion King?
I mean, it was in Lion King.
It's been a while since I've heard this theme.
Since Jamie. Sam Phillips is a girl, not a dude. To think so is rude. Hey, man.
Hey, Jude.
That's my nephew. I want to do a thing for my nephew where it's like I take a video of him every year, and then when he's 18, edit it together, and it's like him growing up, and it's set to Hey, Jude, but then it's the arrangement from Royal Tenenbaums, the one that's in the prologue where Alec Baldwin's like, young Margot Tenenbaum was a blah, 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 and it crescendos.
Hope he doesn't hate that movie.
The thing is, like, I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, and I could give it to him when he's 18. I'm like, he's not going to give a shit about me or anything.
He'll be like, what is
when
this?
15.
Physical video?
18.
Why didn't you upload it to my brainwaves, uncle?
Oh, are you still on the cloud?
What's this? You filmed it on an iPhone? Gross.
Welcome to Gilmore, guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're the Gilmore gang.
Oh, wow. Kevin just threw up.
We haven't done a solo Gilly, guys, in forever.
Yeah.
What do you think is the hardest part about doing this show now?
Probably all the adoring fan. No, I don't know. The hardest part about doing this show right now
is this episode.
I'm truly trying to think, because I feel like I do have answers when we're not recording, but it's, I always think of like how much stress I put on myself mentally when it comes to the show, and then as soon as we record, I don't have any of it. Like, I think I make up so many situations in my head of like, oh, someone asked this. Oh, I'd have an answer. Like, oh, I couldn't wait to get into this. Or like, oh, I hate the idea of this happening. But it's like, it doesn't happen as much as I'm sure I force myself to believe it does.
Sure.
Anyway.
I think there is a...
Hardest part is the mental stress, basically, that I put on myself.
That is self-inflicted.
Yes, the made-up mental stress.
Do you get totally psyched out by questions that are like, Demi, what did you think of this scene?
I do, only because a lot of times when those questions are directed to me, I haven't watched it yet. And I know
We're doing the yeah.
But at the same time, I sometimes feel like, oh, I didn't care much about that, but I loved this, and it's always something inconsequential. But
yeah, I think people do forget just contextually that you're watching it for the first time.
I also think that people forget that I'm way outside the demographic for this show.
Yeah.
Like, in every possible way.
I would say for whatever, and it isn't even that much and that many people, but for whatever pressure you have on us to, like, represent the fandom, or I would say that should be, if we're not doing it right, that should be directed at me less than Demi.
I also,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's not that much pressure. Like, I've never been like, I got to buckle to make sure people like what I'm saying, because I say unlikable stuff every episode. It's just, it's whatever. But I don't know. I don't think it's that much pressure. I think I just get stressed out by anything.
You were having a Vietnam flashback during 608.
I truly was.
It was a sight to see.
And then again during 613, but I think I held my own more.
613, I couldn't tell.
Okay, yeah.
Actually.
Yes, because I was like, we're going to talk about the last scene, and I like it, but I don't like it. But
I like it, but
I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, as of recording this, we just got back from the Midwest shows in Minneapolis and Chicago, which were so fun.
Yeah.
Stars holla out to Brandy Brown, Joe Feldman, and the great Russ Kimball.
Really a good trio of guests. Like, every single guest, I was like, this is a good person, and I'm so glad they're here.
Like, if you put them on a grid, none of them are the, like, they're all different races and genders.
Oh, no, some of them are same genders. Some of them are same races.
Oh, never mind. I don't know how grids work. You had to think about that, like, oh, no, that's the wrong thing you said.
I got what you were saying, but I was like, different combinations. Anyway.
Yeah. No two white guys in a row, though.
Just you and Ross.
Oh, that's right.
No, I'm kidding. No, really, yeah, they were all wonderful, and I can't wait for you guys to hear them, unless you've heard them already, and then, wasn't I correct? I don't know when this is coming out.
This will come out, I think, when will it come out?
We should just rename the Gilmails to Ramble Zone, because I feel like...
Ramble Zone?
Yeah, we talk a lot, but also, it's Ramble.
It's Ramble Zone.
It's Ramble Zone.
So, wait.
Ramble Stiltskin.
Wait, I would... I'm very open-handed about, like, I will rebrand this whole...
No?
No.
I will say what we should do is have an entirely different segment, because everyone can get on board with this, that is just having guests like Aisha and Sarah on to just ramble about the show.
Yeah. That's essentially what those were, kind of.
Right, but just make them non-males and don't release them on the schedule of, like... the regular show. I don't know how we would do it then, because that's adding on to it, but I don't want to suggest this now, because I feel like people would be like, yes, do.
So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Gilmore Guys will be coming
out. You can handle that, right, Kevin?
Oh, gosh.
That's not a stress at all.
Golly. Woo-hoo. Oh, man. Anyway. You know what song? What?
I don't. I just said, anyway.
I thought you said, hey, and there was a follow-up.
How?
Let's go.
Oh, I was when going you, Lumineers.
When you...
Oh. Hormones. What you said? What song? And then.
Oh, I was just gonna say this song plays in my head when I think about how stressful that would be. I have to edit 3 episodes in one week. I don't think I can do this.
Open premiere now.
Oh no.
No more sleeping for 60 hours. Gotta cut episodes down and down.
Oh man. Oh, by the way, while I'm thinking of it, big stars holla out to all of the people that have helped out do video for our live shows.
Yes, video, photo, merch, all of you guys are.
All the merch people, Annie and Brianne and all the, and the other,
the trumpet. Say all the names.
The merch. Todd Wardrobe on video in Minneapolis, a little bit of Winona in Chicago, a little bit of Tommy also in Minnesota, a little bit of Michael
in LA.
Yeah, Ross in LA. Ross crushing in LA. Gotta do 4K now, every ep.
Could you imagine if we were just like, it has to be 4K in every episode?
in like every single episode
yes.
of the podcast.
And it's like, this is great, but computers can't load this and people are watching on their phones.
Oh yeah, you don't give another option. It's either 4K or you can't watch it. That would suck. But yeah, we do shoot one of the angles of our video podcast in 4K, and then 4K. We punch in. Is this interesting to anybody?
Actually,
no one's listening to these. No one listens to the Gilmans.
No, they do.
Ten people.
No.
Anyway.
No. Have you seen those numbers? There's not that much.
I will
drop
say
off.
They will not keep listening if we don't at least answer some questions.
Oh, I also want to say hello to my family. No, I want to say. Thank you to everyone who came out to the HeadGum Show in Austin, Texas at South by Southwest. Definitely most of the people weren't there for me, but there were some people that
I'm
came.
I'm bummed I couldn't be there.
Yeah, it was I threw you under the bus at the show.
You should have.
No, I was like, I wanted to do a bit and I just kind of ran out of time, but I wanted to be like, okay, so because the hosting bits, they were recording everything, but obviously they weren't going to release me hosting because right. they were just doing three different episodes. So I was like, okay, what can I say on this that I can't? Well, first of all, Melissa McCarthy's a real bitch. Like, just to cut loose,
yeah.
spread false rumors, false
flags.
Do
it. You should have.
Throw up, like, obscene pictures of us, like, you know, defiling props on the Stars Hollow set.
Which exists. Yeah, we broke in under the cover of Nightfall.
That's right. But yeah, thanks for everyone who came out to that. That was super fun. Opened the show with a rap to Pony, because I just...
Rap to Pony?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Because if you just loop that beginning, whoa. It's a nice little...
Well,
head gum, dad gum. It's a podcast network. What's
dad
the cash?
Gum?
What's the flow? What's the overall network? Gotta go to the vet. Gotta get some pet work. Dancing on the internet. I'm calling it a network. While you're single, Jake and Amir, y'all just sit back, relax, get a drink or a beer. Cause you paid your $20 to watch audio recordings, and we're gonna do it right for you tonight. Tonight we'll not get boring. What?
Whoa.
So some of that.
Wow.
It was fun.
Yeah. Unfortunately, everyone stopped listening because they hate rap.
Yeah. I mean, it was Austin.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, Austin loves rap.
It was in Austin.
Oh.
So how would everyone
hate rap? Never mind. Crossed wires. I'll just say that was a wonderful rap, and I'm glad I got to hear it, and I hope that people liked it.
Frank Capra, it's a wonderful rap.
It's a wonderful rap.
Do you think he said that after he, like, nailed rapping A Christmas Present?
For sure. Every time a bell rings...
An angel gets a bow.
Lil Wayne gets some wings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that not him?
No.
That's Lil Jon.
It's fine.
Who is it?
How?
Or is it Flavor Flav?
No, it's like anyone. Everyone in rap yells, yeah. Everyone's got a yeah.
Let's listen to this.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're 10 minutes in.
We've been recording for 19, though.
Oh.
The first 10, you'll never hear.
It was all the secrets.
Any keeping secrets? Anything we want to address before we get into it?
This is just, yeah.
Do we want to talk about who we're voting for this year?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna write in Minnie Mouse.
Minnie.
Okay. Mickey can't do it. I trust a woman.
It's time for a woman mouse president.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get a skirt in there.
Look, she's got a she's got a. Great record as far as politics go, so I think I'm going Minnie.
Yeah, I mean, on Disney Clubhouse, there's been this arc of episodes where Minnie's like, I'm pro-choice, woo-hoo.
Yeah, and Mickey's like, oh, but what about my choice? And I'm like, Mickey, this isn't your issue to deal with, I'm sorry to say. Like, let's let women's bodies be women's bodies.
This isn't your issue, Mickey.
And Goofy's like, gosh, I just think maybe it's time for men to get more of us. And I'm just like, no, you guys need to stop. Then Donald Wallace in with the, I voted for Iraq. Nope, not. I was better in elementary school.
And then Shaggy comes in. He's like Zoink Scoop. Yeah. I think we're gonna have a woman president.
He crosses all sorts of boundaries to show up in this show.
Yeah, he's voting for Bernie. He loves them Scooby snacks.
Legalizing weed, Zoinks.
Hi, this is Kelly from Okina, Illinois. I just wanted to say thank you for coming to Chicago. I was able to go to the show. It was a lot of fun. But I just had a question, and
but.
It's been bothering me for a little while. Whatever happened to Rory's job at the Stanford Gazette? She was obsessed with getting the job. She was stalking, and then we don't really hear anything else about it. I just was wondering your thoughts. Love the show. Thanks so much.
When did she get that job again? Because I know it was in the period of Rory.
609.
Wow. So it was before. Was it before she reconciled with her mom? No. It was as she reconciled.
It was the same app.
That's so weird.
Never to be heard from again.
What the hell? I didn't even think of it because it's been so soon. I just assumed we'd go back to it, but nothing? Wow.
Yeah.
That is very weird.
Maybe that'll be the big arc in. In the new season.
She's been working there very quietly for 8 years.
Yeah, after the Obama stint, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, that poor guy. That poor cancer doctor from Breaking Bad guy.
So she wore him down into giving her a job, presumably getting someone else fired. And
let's
then,
just imagine she quit the next week.
Yeah, she's like, can't do it. My mom and I are good now, so I
gotta
need...
go to Atlantic City.
Yeah. Oh my God. So many... What the hell?
I gotta go get jet lagged from Atlantic City.
I gotta get jet lagged on a 45-minute plane ride.
Get jet lagged sounds kind of dirty.
Yeah. Get jet lagged sounds like something you say to someone when you're like, go get jet lagged.
Why don't you go get jet lagged?
Get jet lagged.
Bro.
It's like the nice version of get bent.
I think get bent's the nice version of get bent.
It might be.
Hey guys, it's Melissa from Cincinnati.
McCarthy?
So I'm rewatching the series in anticipation of the revival, and I think I caught a Gilmore Goose, and you may have talked about it. I've listened to all of your shows, but I don't remember if you talked about this in 105 or not. But Kirk, like, doesn't know who Miss Patty is, which is really funny, especially considering 605 when he does the performance and Patty says that he did it, like, 20 years ago or something. So I thought it was really funny that in 105 he's like, oh, I didn't realize you would be Miss Patty. So I don't know if you had noticed this before. If so, I'm sorry and you don't need to answer this. And if not, discuss if you want. Thanks. Love the show.
We will discuss if we want.
And we don't want. No. I feel like they do that sort of revisionist history a lot in the show where they really wanted to set up the show at the beginning as if like some people don't know people and some people have been there for ages. But then by this point in the series, they're like, no, everyone's been here forever.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's them forgetting or them just kind of going, who cares?
I would chalk it up to Mick turns into Kirk.
Yeah. That really muddled his history.
Truly. Yeah. The canon is all over the place.
I don't know why that change happened. Why would they not just keep it as Mick?
Mick?
Or have him say, I changed my name to Kirk. Or something, like, why make it a separate character? What was Kirk's first thing?
DSL. Oh, what was Kirk's first thing? Swan Delivery, I believe.
Why? That fits perfectly in line with him also, like, I don't know. It just seems weird to change his name.
Maybe it was, we're going to not only change his name, but his occupation.
And then they realized, oh, we can change his occupation.
Having to change his name every time.
Oh, well. Yeah. That's one question I'd ask Amy. If I got one, I just go, why? Why'd you do that?
here's something we can't do. If we're ever blessed and honored with the opportunity.
Right.
Definitely we won't be.
If we're ever blinded by the light.
Blinded by the light. Oh, gosh. I'm seeing him Tuesday.
I know.
And Thursday.
I should have guessed.
But not Saturday, because my stupid sister's getting married. She already got married, but they're having a wedding reception.
She should
in Dallas.
Postpone it.
I told her, and she's being a real... anyway, it's...
Have the wedding at the concert. Come on.
That's what... that'd be rad.
Or Skype in to the wedding.
Oh, did you see that on the Reed podcast, someone proposed in the Q&A of their live show?
No, I don't listen to the Reed, but that's cool.
Yeah. And I was like,
pretty,
interesting.
Chicken or the egg.
Audience Reed. Of the Reed.
Yeah.
JK Rowling. Rolling, sorry. Is it rolling? It is rolling.
Honestly, if someone corrected me, I'd be like, that doesn't matter.
I've had this internal debate 12 times on the podcast. Is it Rowling or Rowling?
I don't think it matters. Everyone knows who you're talking about.
Oh, to go back to it, one thing we will not do with Amy. So in season 5, episode 12, Rory said that she was 12 years old in the year of this, but in another...
No, I would never ask for the Kirk Mick thing either. Yeah. I don't care.
It's got to be big picture.
I'm not going to comic book guy her.
Big picture bullshit. Yeah. You can't... And then this, like... And I don't know
why... somebody got fired for that blunder.
I don't know if that interaction has ever worked for anybody, where someone's been super specific on about a show that someone's worked on or acted in for, like... 8+ years, and then the person has responded, oh yeah, actually, here's my answer, and I have it.
I bet Gene Roddenberry had to do that at some point with Star Trek.
I'm sure they all did, but I don't know if it's ever worked out successfully, is what I'm saying.
No, I mean, like, I bet he has had an answer, but then he passed away, so who knows?
Oh no. Brian Fuller. That might be cool.
With what show?
Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, that would be. I thought you meant like Brian Fuller answering questions about Pushing Daisies. I was like, maybe.
No, his walkthroughs through every episode of Hannibal and the AV Club were awesome.
I need to watch that show.
Yeah.
I need to watch a lot of shows.
Hannibal, you could watch with the sound off and it would be exquisite.
People would be like, so what'd you think about that twist? I'd be like, what twist?
It looked pretty to me.
Yeah, it was always pretty.
Oh, this is kind of a long one. I'll cut it out if I don't like it.
Hi, Kevin and Demi. It's Sophie from Scotland, and I've just listened to your latest Gilmail episode, and you were talking about why didn't Lorelai go to Chilton, and a couple of things. This is kind of my niche specialty, like, field of expertise. Okay, so a lot of private schools were initially single-sex or boy schools, and so it's possible that Chilton used to be all male. Or that Chilton used to be all female and that they decided then to change later on. And it's also possible that it used to be a boarding school and they didn't want to send Lorelai to a boarding school. Because the trend in private education has been to move away from boarding and become independent day schools because, weirdly enough, it's to do with the army because a lot of armies now have family bases and so people take their family with them instead of leaving their kids in one place and the parents moving by themselves. And similarly, the trend for single-sex schools has kind of gone away to a certain extent unless you're looking at like the real old schools like Eton or something like that. So yeah, there are some plausible explanations for why Lorelai would not have gone to Chilton and Rory is or has attended. Love the show. You guys should come to Scotland, come to the Edinburgh Festival. Anyway, thanks very much. And hope you guys have a great show.
Oh, my God. I want to go to Scotland just to hear more of that voice.
Oh, that's so
Sophie,
good.
Sophie, you have such a wonderful, sweet,
Sophie,
calming voice. And it's going to be terrible for people listening in traffic to go from what is a very warm, soft blanket of a voice.
To I'm Kevin. I'm Jimmy.
Yeah, to two jagged mountains jutting through the ocean. Like,
oh, man. Someone was talking about how they hated my voice today on the internet.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's cool.
Honestly, good.
What?
I don't know where I was going. As soon as I said honestly,
you know what?
Like,
finally,
I was like, as soon as I said honestly, I was like, I don't have anything to go off of for that.
We'll talk about Lorelai Chilton. There is an episode that we did overlook where Richard said, yeah, she got the best grades in her class.
I don't think
she was destined for.
I don't think it said where though.
Oh,
but still. That was to establish that, yes, she is smart.
Yeah.
Which, yes, she is, or so the show has told us. Don't know why she didn't go to Chilton if she did. I mean, like, as Sophie gives, that's a very good reason. I don't know. Yeah, that's a pretty good reason if it was initially an all-boys school. It just seems... I always say it seems strange they wouldn't tell us, but that's not necessary. It's just something we wondered.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if she went to Chilton or not. That doesn't change the character.
Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah.
We're
nitpicky is the problem.
We pick nits. Yeah. Should we call this the picnic hour? The picnic hour? The nitpick picnic?
Nitwits nitpicked at the picnic.
The nitwits nitpicked at the picnic.
Yes.
The nitwits nitpicked at the nitpick.
We've created our own tongue twister.
This is our vocal warm-up we do before every show.
Nitwits nitpick at the picnic.
Do you think it's weird that we don't have any rituals that we do before every live show?
No. My only ritual is I don't change until 5 minutes before, and then sometimes I do push-ups.
Oh, that's true.
But those aren't rituals so much as it is like, oh,
or run around the building.
I did run around the building.
Or do the polar plunge.
Yeah, my ritual seems to be like, maybe I'll die before the show.
Oh, and the nick of time, the nitwits at the picnic.
Nitwits nitpick at the picnic.
Nitwits nit... I got it. This is the last time. People are screaming in their cars for us to move on.
No, they turned it off already.
The nitwits pick nits at the picnic.
Nitwits, nick pit, nitwits, nit. I hate this. I'm done. I did it already.
Oh, Roaho. Here we go.
Hi, this is Jessa from East Lansing, Michigan. I'm calling because I'm calling to talk about when Logan, and there's a parallel between Logan and Jeff, or Dean. In episode, I think, 2 of the entire show, Roy doesn't want to go to Chilton because she met Dean, and there's like a big conflict between her and Lorelai, and it kind of resolves the same episode.
True.
In, obviously, season 6, there's the same thing going on with her and Logan, and I'm wondering if you guys see any parallels between the two of them, the two of these situations, and what you make of that as far as Rory's character. Is she running away from something, like her possible greatness or her possible fear of not being great? Maybe it's an imposter situation kind of thing. Let me know. Thanks. Bye.
That was kind of threatening at the end. I think it is different because I don't think Logan... Well,
wait, so the situation is they both...
Well, remember in the pilot where she's like, I'm going to Chilton, and then she met Dean, and he's like, Rosemary's baby, and she's like, oh, maybe I do want to stay in public school.
Right.
And then season 6, she drops out after stealing a boat. But I think that was more an identity crisis brought on by Mitchum.
Yeah.
Logan was less the active agent in that than Dean.
Yeah. I think that also she didn't stay in public school, so...
Oh, yeah, she didn't fall through with it. Oh, yeah. So maybe it's like the fulfillment.
It was just what bad timing sort of thing. But she still went to Chilton and still was with Dean. And I think that Logan, as a... Logan was not the catalyst for her to drop out of school as much as Mitchum was. I don't think she ever makes choices for her education based on the boys in her life.
Although she did say to Lorelai, Logan didn't say no. So is his passivity?
That's such a... I don't think that's...
You think
Rory's
just making stuff up?
I think Rory was sort
that
of...
That was my favorite TV show, was Fair Factor.
Fair Factor? Yes, it was. With Ja Rogan. I think that Rory was sort of looking for further excuses as to her own behavior. I would never say, well, he didn't say no as a reason for me to believe that he thought I should drop out.
Right.
I don't know.
There's a bit of an echo there, but wait, what do you think Rory's going to drop out of in the new episodes because of a boy?
Does she drop out of? Well, Tony's going to make her want to drop journalism, I think. She's going to be like, it's finally my chance, a front page story for the New York Times, but Tony's going off to Bogota next week.
Bogota?
He's going to dance for the USO in Bogota.
What if it's like Jess shows up at the New York Times and he's like, why did you go to the New York Times?
You love the Post.
This isn't you.
This isn't you. You're a Washington Post girl. You don't even like crosswords.
You like crosswords.
I love crosswords.
That I didn't know about you until we were accidentally traveling together to Chicago. From Minneapolis, and you did a little crossword in the security line.
Love it. Fun thing, Gilmore Girls shows up a lot in the crossword. Lorelai's been there, Rory's been there.
You do specifically the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And very recently, In Omnia Paratus was one of the things, and I only knew it because of...
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's super... That feels
like... It was
like,
In Blank Paratus, and I was like, I only know this because of Logan. Finally, he's given me something good.
Finally.
Anyway.
Master and Commander.
I forgot all about that. God, I hate him so much.
I know, that's why I want you to call me.
I hate that moment so much, and people are like, what? You don't love him?
It's like, no. Yeah. Those were the days when I had to defend everything he did.
I would love to go back and just listen to your defenses and go, Kevin?
He's great. I love him. Team Logan forever. There's no way.
Do you want to, because I feel like, are we going to have this come out after 613 or before?
Oh, I don't know. Okay. Why?
Well, I got pretty on the offensive against Emily in 613, and I feel like it wasn't a fair fight for you, but I feel like, do you want to defend Emily? Or is it just kind of like a thing of, like, I like her?
Yeah, but that's kind of an inarticulate defense, isn't it?
Right, but I mean, like, it is still a defense. I can't fight against the fact that you like her.
Because if it comes down to, like, oh, yeah, I understand and perceive all those facts, but hair is pretty. Like, I think, and I don't want to be reductive of anyone who is team this person or that person, that it does come down to something that superficial, because obviously it doesn't, and there's a lot more to it, to every situation. But for Emily, I think it might just be a flavor thing. Like, you didn't like it when she told off Shira. You didn't like it when...
I just felt like it was very backhanded, and it felt like that's good, but she wasn't doing it for the right reasons.
She wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with that. But still, that flavor was delicious to
me. Right. I get that.
So it's an interesting, that's where I think it comes down to taste. And there's characters I find way more annoying than her and way more hard to deal. Like, I'll just love her forever more than Rory.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, and you know, maybe that's a proclivity for for women over 55.
Right.
But it's also... Because what was the big talking point in 613?
In 613, she makes a lot of claims as to why... Well, one big thing that got me is how no one ever believed Lorelai when she was telling them the truth about Mitchum. And then it happens, and they never go back to her and say, you were right. And then she's like, I said that thing about Mitchum. And they're like, what? No, you didn't. She literally, like, word for word, repeats it. And they just don't. They never apologize or insist that they are wrong. And also, Emily does this thing of like, oh, when I collude with Christopher, it's bad. And you collude with him, and it's good. And I was like, yes, you were colluding for very different reasons. You're trying to break up a love, and she is trying to pay for a child. School.
True.
Anyway.
Yeah. No, she's a hypocrite.
Yeah.
I can affirm all these things.
But it doesn't change how you see.
It doesn't change my enjoyment. Like, because again, it might be a misnomer. Like, when we're, oh, I love this character, this is my favorite, is it I endorse their worldview?
Right. I think it's the same way that I am with Paris, where, like, I defend her despite knowing that she is, like, if we were in that world, I would be like, Paris is the worst. I would absolutely be on the side of everyone who is like, I quit the newspaper.
Right.
Because I think she's hard to work with, but it's so endearing to see that person, because at the same time that they are a monster, they are still the underdog because they are so unloved.
Right. I love it.
I had a weird realization the other night that I think the only stories that get to me in movies or television are like underdog stories. Because I saw Zootopia.
Do we want to talk about Zootopia, bro?
Let's talk a little bit about Zootopia.
Okay.
I cried during Zootopia.
So did I.
I cried.
This is the only time this has been true for both of us.
And I was just like, what the hell? I didn't cry it Inside Out or Up or anything, but I'm crying at Zootopia when a little bunny is getting pushed in the first 10 minutes of the
movie. That's where I cried. And I was like, about to ask which part it was.
It was that. And then again, like every time the Jenny Slate's character says, us little guys got to stick up for each other. And then again, when Gideon, like when the fox comes back at the end, I'm just like, what's wrong with me that I'm crying and all these children around me are like, hey, it's the animals.
Oh man, I saw that at the Draft House yesterday, or I don't know where I am, but I saw it like a couple of days ago when I was in Austin for like 30 hours.
Yeah.
And it was it is an unbelievable movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is unbelievable that it exists.
Truly wonderful. Yeah.
Here's why I want to run by you. Welcome to my ass, by the way, because we're talking about, we don't have jingles for when we go off topic, but we do.
Welcome to my ass.
It's been waiting for you. So in that movie is the central, maybe this is getting
too nitpicky
at the picnic.
Hey, we're at the picnic. It's time to nitpick, you nitwit.
All right. Oh, yeah. Is the central allegory flawed because it makes minorities predators? Because in the movie, at one point, Jennifer Goodwin Bunny,
mm-hmm.
said, or What is her name?
Judy Hopps.
Judy. Yeah. It is Judy. Okay. Says, oh, well, I don't know. It's probably in their DNA. And then Fox is like, it's in our DNA?
Yeah.
What? And that is true of the animal kingdom. It is in their DNA.
Right.
It's not true, of course, in the real life allegory that's
correct.
Saying. So it does break down, even though it totally self-addresses it.
I think that's a fact that can't work if they are using the predator thing, because it is technically in the DNA, but it's not in the... I think that is kind of where the allegory breaks down, but that's not something they present in the film. It's like if they were to try and do, like, make them shapes and say, like, oh, well, sharper shapes are more dangerous. And it's like, well, yeah, they are sharper, but these are characters that have shown that their sharpness is not something that is... Like, it's if you use it as the metaphor for, like, white people and black and minorities, it's like, historically, yes, minorities have been seen as dangerous from a genetic standpoint, or like worse from a genetic standpoint,
right.
But it's like, is that true? No, probably. Are they different from a genetic standpoint? Yes, probably, but not in the way
literally, but not in an aggression.
Yes, right, of
thing.
Course. And I think that breaks down, but it also is just impossible to translate that into any other way without it
right.
being kind of like a, oh, well, this other thing gets like muddles it up.
That was the only thing that, like, looking back on, I was like, wait a minute.
I think they did flawed? Such a good job with that. And I started crying just thinking about the idea that children are going to grow up watching this movie and learning that lesson and, like, innately not having that sort of like prejudice.
It was unbelievable.
It was so good. I'm like, getting all like yeah, just
from the very first
it.
Scene, the little play, I was
I
like
felt so,
I'm all in on this movie.
I was embarrassed at how much I was crying from that alone. I was just like, what? This is funny. I don't understand why I'm doing like
yeah.
what? Ugh, so good.
Now you saw a little bit of my world for a little bit.
Right? I don't want to go back.
You
I'm
know
out.
What? Kevin and Demi may go to different towns and different places and different worlds, but at the end of the day, they end up...
We are all the
in
same.
In Zootopia.
Yeah, we end up in the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
We're a bunch of furries, you and I. I'm kidding.
Boy.
I'm kidding.
I wish. I mean...
What?
Next voicemail.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Demi. This is Josie from Twin Falls, Idaho. I just wanted to call really quick to say that if you haven't watched The Good Wife, you really should. Matt Zuckery is amazing. I know that Alan Cumming got nominated the last like 3 years or something for
Alan Cumming,
supporting actor for The Good Wife, but I think for season 6, Matt should have gotten nominated. He's incredible. So if you haven't watched it, I'm officially Team Logan now after watching The Good Wife. I was Team Jess, but not Team Logan.
Don't know
okay.
how to translate.
Bye, guys.
I wonder if you would like him more if you watch Good Wife. I haven't seen Good Wife.
The thing is, I don't not like Matt Zuckery. Like, meeting him, I was just like, what a charming man. And he's handsome, and he's lovely to talk to.
And you guys kissed.
We did kiss. We made out. Not a big deal. No, but it's literally just the character. It's like, I don't like Jess or Dean either, but I think those are both wonderful men. And mm-hmm. In meeting them, I was like, you are great. You're so good.
Good Wife, I don't know if it feels... Oh, I'm going to get a bunch of tweets.
Good Life... The thing is, there's so many good
there's
life.
So many episodes.
Welcome to The Good Life. No, it's not even the amount of episodes. It's just there's so many shows where I know I will go, this is good, but I will watch it and just feel nothing. So I'm just like, why even waste it? Like with any drama, I just feel like...
When's the last time that happened to you?
I'm trying to think. Because there have... I don't know. I'm trying to remember the last time I watched a drama all the way through. But it's so rare because I just know I can't give myself that investment. Like... It's partially one thing about it is The West Wing. Like, I know I should watch it and everyone won't shut up about it. And I'm like, I should watch The West Wing.
You're just getting that because you're doing this show. I think that'll go down when you're not.
I know, but I think if I watched The West Wing, I'd go, this is good, but I wouldn't be like, this is my favorite. Like, I think, especially with older shows.
There's this awesome scene, though, where President Bartlett goes to Congress and he says, I'm going to put 1,000 bills in your pocket.
Really? I know. Lisa, 1,000 songs in your pocket.
Oh, he actually could do that with Zoe.
Oh, great. No, but I just know that, especially with older shows, I will go, like, I appreciate this for what it is, but it's also, the ground has been broken past this show, and I've grown up on shows that broke ground past this show, so it's weird for me to go back and try and see the value in it as if I was watching it for the first time in 2004
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sure I do want to do a thing. I thought about this where, like, every month I will just watch an entire run of a show I haven't seen. Like, just watch all of The Wire, just watch all of I don't know, Friday Night Lights. Shows that I...
Combo, when it came down to the wire, it felt right. Hey, it
Oh,
felt
I was like,
right,
you said fumble, and I was like, Friday Night Lights. Then you said the wire, and then I was like, huh. And then I was like, that's Haim.
That was Haim, their, that was their crossover.
Yeah.
When Coach Just Taylor that one was line. Like, hey, Baltimore, clear ass, full hearts.
It's time. What are we talking about on the show again?
The Good Wife.
The Good Wife. Maybe I'll watch it. There's too much TV. I'm watching 40 shows right now.
Are you really?
Not 40, but it is genuinely like 15.
Genuinely
like 15.
Okay.
And one of them is The Pony Show, Luck. No, I'm kidding. Why would I be watching Luck?
Two episodes.
I need to know where it goes.
Well, to glue eventually.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. This is Carrie up in Tacoma, Washington. And I just wanted to say I love listening to your show. And I was lucky enough to get to go and catch up in Seattle a few weeks ago. So that was fun.
And we booed your city.
I'm calling because I had a thought I wanted to suggest to you guys. I know that by this time next year, you will be done with Gilmore Guys. And that includes Bunheads. But I am currently watching or rewatching all seasons of Parenthood on Netflix.
We're not going to do Parenthood.
I just thought maybe the hilarity could ensue
We're
with
not
you guys.
Do Parenthood.
If you did a Parenthood podcast,
We're not
it's been
do
really
Parenthood.
Interesting, actually. Lauren Graham's character has so many similarities on Parenthood to her character on Gilmore Girls. And so I thought maybe you guys could have some fun with that. I would think you'd have to be pretty comfortable crying in front of each other to do a Parenthood podcast. And if you are, I personally think it's a great idea. So, just you should think about that. Keep that in mind. And, good luck with the rest of the year on the show. And I will keep listening and enjoying. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
So here's the thing. First of all, we're not going to do Parenthood. But also, I don't know why everyone thinks that there's going to be another show after this of like...
I feel like we've been pretty explicit.
But no, I mean
about
like...
this is it.
There was a lot of jokes early on about like, what else would we do? But I feel like doing any other show would not only ruin this, but then it just gets into a bunch of like, I hope we like the show, because if we don't, we have lost... Like, no one's going to listen to us hating a show for a year. And also, it's just... I feel like it ruins watching television for us to go episode by episode and for us to do it just for a series of shows. And it's like, what's the metric for choosing the next show? Like, just because Lauren Graham's in it? Like, I don't care. Like, she's great, but I also, like, why not Alexis Bledel or why not another show that Kelly Bishop was in? Like, I just feel like there's no good metric for it. There's no good reason for it. There's no... It ruins the specialness of this show if instead of us being, like, the guys who did Gilmore Girls as a podcast and then did other podcasts... was like, oh, no, it's the guys who do a bunch of different TV shows, and they've been doing, like, four different TV shows for 10 years. Like, I don't know what it was about this that suggested that there had to be another podcast about TV after this.
I think it's just the idea that people... It's just a comfortable thing now.
Yeah.
It's a reliable thing.
But I just... Another TV show is
I'm not interested in putting you through this again.
I'm not interested in doing this with, like... The thing is, just, like, I think about it all the time because everyone's like, Kevin, you got to do your West Wing podcast. And I think if you love it, you should. But at the same time, there's a certain...
Talk me out of it.
I just... Well, first of all, it's been done. It's being done.
I know.
But also, I just feel like... Don't you feel like you pigeonhole yourself into it at a certain point? It's just like when you do two TV show related podcasts, what can you do next but a third TV show related podcast? And then like if you like it, just like why not try to do something new every time? Like, well, Gilmore Girls podcast has been done. Technically, a Gilmore Guys podcast had not when we did it, although simultaneously it was happening.
It was, yeah,
but it's just like. The hook of this podcast is, unfortunately, it's men doing a girl thing. And that sucks, and it's not our intention, and it's not something that we carried on for any amount of the show. But it is the hook. So for us to do a West Wing podcast, it's just a podcast of guys talking TV, which is only appealing to A, the people who listen to us already and like us. B, the people who listen to us already and like us and also are willing to watch The West Wing. C, the people who listen to us already like us, watch The West Wing, and are willing to listen to another podcast. And D, the people who listen to us already like us, are willing to watch The West Wing and listen to another podcast, and are willing to get on board with our views on The West Wing. So there's just so much in every time we do another idea that it's just like, why can't we let Gilmore Guys be special? You know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, so I shouldn't do another podcast after this.
No. I think you should do another podcast. I'm going to do another podcast. I just don't know what or when. I just don't want to get on the schedule of, like, podcast is the only thing I do now. I'm going to tell you guys right now. I think I've even told you some of my ideas for podcasts, but, like, I don't want it to be a public thing of, like, get ready, guys. The next one's coming. Like, I just want to be comfortable and do it on my own pace. Because I think... with both of us, if we set up like when we set up Bunhead Bros or whatever, that's happening now. But if we also were like, and after that we're doing this, it's like, wouldn't we be more comfortable just doing something on our own pace and just getting comfortable with it and having the idea and being so confident that it's going to be good so that we can jump into it when we're ready and not have it just be like, we got to keep up this momentum of like, we can't lose our audience or whatever. Like, people will go and that's fine. But I also would rather do something that I'm enjoying rather than something that I'm doing to capitalize on something else. I don't want that. I want to be enjoying a podcast, not making sure that I'm like pandering to a very select audience of like four subsections of our already existing audience.
Yeah, it's a specific cross section.
Yeah.
It's not a majority.
Podcast should be fun.
Disagree.
Well,
what if I said disagree? God damn it.
Podcasts are work, okay?
Podcasts should be toil.
Yeah. Podcasts should be seen and not heard.
Like a Milton man. Yeah. You can always tell a Milton man. Or a Milford man.
A Milford man, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
You know what I always want to say when people are like, you should do this because I love that show? I always want to go, you should
fuck
do
yeah.
it. No, I just think, like, as much as you like this show... and as much as people are like, I would love to come on the show and talk about that, it's like, you do your podcast. You do the podcast and or even find other people who are doing the podcast and support them and tell them what you love about their show and what they can improve in a very kind way. Because I feel like we needed that when we started and we wouldn't be how we are. Like, we didn't just jump out of the gate like killing it. We got feedback and we had people who were supportive of us and like... helped us along the way, and we had wonderful guests, and it was all just because, like, we didn't start out with, like, a huge network of people that could do this. It was just Kevin and I. So, you can do it.
I know. I feel like doing another one kind of ruins it.
It's not a bad idea, and it doesn't ruin this, but I also just, personally, I feel like I would want to not, like, I'm not interested in just doing another one. I want to do a different type of podcast. Anyway. I do think that if you're a listener out there and you think, like, God, I would love to hear this type of podcast, you should also know it's way more fun to talk about it. It's way more fun to be the podcast than to hear it. So if you have an idea, I say go for it.
Big stars holla out to the second Gilmore Guys Girls podcast that has started with an old friend of yours from UT.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That was, I haven't listened to it yet, but they started as a joke and now they're five episodes in.
Yeah.
So I hope they start touring soon.
That'd be cool. That could be our opener.
That would be so weird, but I would laugh a lot.
That would be like a cover band opening for.
Yeah.
That'd be so weird. Yeah. I don't know, guys.
Podcasts are fun, but they also shouldn't be, they should always be fun. It shouldn't just be
Do you think Paul Scheer and Jason Manzoukas and June feel pigeonholed as the bad movie people?
Because
they've been doing that for 6 years?
Wow, 6 years. I don't think so, but also because they don't do it as frequently. Mm-hmm. And also because they all have other things going on.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Jason gets pigeonholed more as the Raffy.
Oh gosh, I could go forever without hearing Rafi at a live show or in an improv show.
Yeah.
Oh, check out Josh Molina and Hrishikesh Hirway's West Wing Weekly podcast.
That should be exciting because Josh was in the show.
Yeah, that's a cool concept because no one who's ever been in the show has done
their own, like, Yeah. It's so cool because it means he clearly loves the show still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's not going to be like, I'm going to shit talk every episode.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rishi sent me a preview of their first episode and it was very good.
That's great.
Very good. So yeah, I would only do.
Someone said just do a general Sorkin cast, and which I think is a good idea, but I don't know how you would do that.
I would do it where it's a different co-host for each show,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then the only way to differentiate it between the other probably superior West Wing would be a podcast would be to only cover the Sorkin episodes.
Well, I just mean like if it's a Sorkin cast, how would you do? Like, do you go movies or do you like?
You do Sports Night. You do two movies. You do West Wing.
But you do every episode of Sports Night individually.
Sports Night was only like 43 episodes.
In my head, I'm like, that sounds like a lot. Well, maybe, what does it say about me that I'm like, what? That's too many. But like, we've done like 4,000.
I know. Anyway. I know. I struggle with it. I don't know.
This isn't really a Gilmail anymore.
It's just us ruminating.
Yeah.
Telling people no.
We should just release this as like, look, this is a half Gilmail.
A like, half-ass Gilmail.
Let's not kid ourselves. It's rambling, and also we answer a few questions.
Yeah. I mean, but that's what we set up at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
By the way, can we swear on this?
No.
Okay. I'm so sorry.
Fuck no. How dare you?
Okay, put out all your podcast ideas into the ether right now. Go.
No.
I thought you were going to do fake ones.
I was going to do fake ones, and I was actually going to say the real ones. Oh, God, no, I was going to say another. No, I'm just going to not. I can't even improvise fake. No, I can't. All right. So it's going to be me and Jamie and Kevin, and we're going to do parodies of the first song of Hamilton every week.
Just the first song.
Just the first one. But so the thing is, it's like, going to be a twist for
Alexander Skarsgård.
Yes, it's going to be about different Alexanders.
Okay.
Alexander Payne. His name is Alexander Payne.
Alexander Borstein.
She was in the first few episodes. Don't forget. Don't forget.
She was Drella.
When she was young, she played the harp, and the pilot season she was let go for a different reason, came back, and then played Miss... What's Celine?
Celine.
Played Miss Celine in season 4. She said... no, I can't do this. This is such a... whatever.
And then my real podcast idea that I'll put that in the ether is reviewing different backpacks.
Backpacks?
That's it. Reviewing a different backpack every week.
This is
week.
When we should be filming these episodes, because Kevin just looked to his left and then came back and said, backpacks.
Not true. I looked to my right.
That is true. You did look to your
Your left, sir. Yeah.
My bad.
Hey, this is Whitney. I'm from New York now, but I was from Philly. I actually found you guys when I went to the live show. Friend dragged me along, and it was great, and I've listened to every episode since. I just wanted to say about Logan. Here's the thing. I'm definitely team none of the boyfriends. She hasn't found the right guy yet, but... the thing about him that makes me more Team Logan than anybody else is he's not angry, he's not duplicitous, he doesn't shut down his emotions, and he's upfront. No, regardless of whether or not you like him and what he does, he doesn't hide any of it. So that's just my take on it is, you know, from day one, he knew what he wanted, he was communicative about what he wanted, and he listened to what Roy and what she wanted, and without going into any spoilers, that was kind of the tone of the relationship the whole time. I definitely don't think they should have been together, and I definitely don't think he's the best guy out there, but I do think just in terms of healthy relationships, the communication there just wasn't there in anything else with her. So I just wanted to say that. Keep up the good work. Thanks. Bye.
I definitely do think he is duplicitous, and I think he's not angry outright, like, not as much as Jess and Logan, or Jess and Dean are very much angry, but he has a problem with his machismo getting in the way of their relationship. Like, as soon as one other guy who he doesn't even realize is her ex until like halfway through meeting him, gets involved. He just gets so alpha and gross about Rory, and it's like, what? I don't like that. I don't know. In the same ways that he is not the ways that Jess and Dean were bad, he is bad in very specific ways that I feel are very manipulative that I can't stand for.
I would agree with that. Next one.
Yes.
I mean, you reach a point with the boyfriend discussions. She said he's upfront about everything. I would disagree with that assessment. I think he's like, he wasn't upfront about breaking up with her in 6:10.
Yeah, the most upfront he should be is in breaking up with
her. And there's things in the future that he's also not upfront about.
Uh-oh.
Unlike networks during the season where they get commercials, he's not up front.
He's not up front. Oh, I thought you were going to say he's not Paley Fest.
He's not
No, I'm kidding.
He's not Adam Paley Fest.
Hi, my name is Kiara. I'm a longtime listener of the show. And recently I listened to your season 6, episode 2 recording, and I was sort of surprised at first that you did not notice something. And then I realized that I have rewatched this show an insane amount of time, so really only an insane person would notice this. But in season 1, episode 11, Paul Anka, or at least a dog that looks like Paul Anka, is at the dog fair. He is in one of the cages under Buttercup's cage. If you rewatch the cold open, I swear he's there, and it's crazy. And ever since I noticed that, it's sort of been my headcanon that he is actually Amon Sherman Palladino's dog, and or maybe she just really loves that dog. I don't know. And I just wanted to see what you thought of that. Okay, so yeah, thank you. Bye.
I always want these to be true.
It is possible it is. I mean, if it's in a dog cage, it could have just been another, because that's where they get the dog from. So
yeah,
it's just the idea that the dog is still at that dog fair 5 years later is sad.
It would make him dead by now.
She could have just had an animal wrangler that she really liked working with. And she was like, well, if we got another animal, then bring back that same owner.
Be you.
So I would believe it, but I'm not surprised that we didn't notice it. At all. I don't even remember consistencies between consecutive episodes, much less 5 seasons apart.
Yeah, the Stanford Eagle Gazette thing was like, oh yeah, whoa. Yeah.
People sometimes will tweet at me things like references to something from the episode that came out that day, and I'm just like, I have no idea what this means.
Right.
My memory is bad.
We should put out something weird, like tweet a picture of...
Oh no.
When you listen to this episode... Tweet at Electro Lemon a picture of a dog dressed as a cop.
Okay.
And then you're just going to get that picture.
Here's the thing. I love that, and I will gladly see them and go, great, and I'll clap my hands like a little seal. But I also just will be like, why is this happening?
Yeah. So this is a little gift from the past that we're going to give to the future.
It is currently March 12th, and I can't wait to see how far into whatever time this is released. And I'm just like, what is it? What is that? What?
Do you think you'll remember it when you get it?
No, I'm sure I won't.
Okay, we'll see. All right.
Okay.
Dogs dressed as cops.
Let's be cops.
Let's be cops. One more.
Hey, Gilmore guys, it's Annie Fogarty, and
Annie.
I have a question that is unrelated to the show Gilmore Girls, but more about recording the podcast. My question is, when you are either speaking with a guest or having a gab and you come to a point where you have an idea of knowledge of an episode that is brought up or a moment in the show, but you aren't quite positive, does it really bug you to the point where you feel the need to find out exactly which episode you're referring to or which moment and just get the specifications on air? Or do you just let it slide and then just let the fans maul you via Twitter? I was just curious thinking about that while re-listening. So thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you, Annie. It's so funny because I used to never care, and I think
and now it's like, let's avoid the tweet.
It's genuinely just avoiding the corrections,
yeah.
And not only in the sense of like,
not
we don't
want to, d-bag way,
yeah, not like, oh, we hate it, but it's just like a, we don't want to, like, that's, we get so many emails and so much input in every form that, like, right. I feel like getting a correction that we can't address anyway. Like, we don't really have a thing where we're just like, by the way, sorry, we didn't say that this was the director on the last episode. Is just, it's just a very easy way to avoid it. So we look it up now as we're going on,
right.
silently if possible. Just,
yeah, we just did that with Michael Winners.
Yeah,
you're like, the director is Chris Long, so there wouldn't be 20 tweets.
I was like,
it's Chris Long. Because I think, and it would be fine if it was just one, but there's no way it couldn't be just one. Because everyone assumes they're the only one tweeting the correction.
Right.
Right.
Which is like, my only thing is just like, it's never a correction that matters too much. Which is not to say like, you're wasting your time, but it literally just that, if we got it wrong, I don't think that changes the viewpoint or what we're trying to say. It's just missing information,
right.
Which is like, I get it. And I also feel like having the knowledge is always something you're like, well, I know this. Here, let me just quickly share that. And mm-hmm. It's not a problem. But I just feel like I would rather avoid it if possible.
Totally. So, yeah, we'll try to do it. And then that's why if I get a detail wrong in live shows, too, I'll just be like, what is it? Like, what does Ananardini do?
Yeah.
And then someone will yell it out.
In a chorus in Chicago, there's one point where everyone yells Rory at the same time, almost as if we were doing a call and response. And I was like, I don't even remember what I got wrong, but I was just like, okay, I'm not, no more details for me that I'm not sure of.
Which is fine when it's one voice saying one thing.
When it's fine
when
20
saying disparate things and we didn't call on them.
Yeah.
Not as fine.
That's when we just know, okay, we got something wrong, but we can't tell what.
Like, seriously, it just creates so much freaking, and there's going to be stuff, and I haven't edited yet, but 613, I'm just going to have to cut out, like, those dummies at the beginning.
I don't remember them.
There's just a guy that was like, yeah, Logan uses all the toilet paper, something stupid. Remember that guy in the front row?
No.
We're just putting him on blast now.
I don't remember things.
This was like 3 days ago.
I know. I know. I have a bad brain, like the band. All right.
Caitlin wrote in because she found a clip of Joey Tribbiani. Did you see that?
No.
Did you see the clip of Joey Tribbiani that Caitlin sent into this?
No.
I'll just play it.
You said it was an escrow?
Ah, a connection. Joey Tribbiani, a.k.a. JT.
JT.
Of the TJ.
TJ.
I think they just love hearing dumb guys say escrow.
Season 10, episode 14 of Friends.
Wow, that is late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So definitely ripping off. No, it probably wasn't.
Around the same time. Wait.
It was season 5 of Gilmore.
Season 5 is when he does the escrow stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. Huh. Could have sworn that was season 4, because Jess and the Mud Wrestling is season...
But that's when you first meet him.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, wow. Then Gilmore is doing it after this.
Ripped him off.
Wait, if anyone ripped him off, I think Joey was ripped off by TJ, which is would make sense,
because
escrow is like an exaggeration of that character. So, I don't know. I won't call it a ripoff, but it would be very funny if that was on purpose and she's just like, I'm exaggerating this character.
Don't call it a ripoff.
He's been there for years. Rocking his peers, putting suckers in tears.
Justin from Portland said, since Amy knew from the beginning what the last four words were going to be, I'm wondering if you guys know what the last four words of the podcast will be. If not, I have some suggestions. It's been a while. Demi, fill for time. It looks like salami. Welcome to my ass. Little to the left. Pop goes the culture. Was that homophobic? California, here we come. A big stars holla. We know Michelle's black. That's the fashion report. Let's rate the episode. La, 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 la. 10 out of 10. We're the Gilmore guys. I like that song.
I like let's rate the episode because it means we don't rate the episode.
Let's rate the episode.
Cut.
It's been a HeadGum podcast.
Oh, yeah. It will be. Has been. It'll be been a HeadGum podcast, technically.
Right.
But the official...
I would say no, that's the station bug.
Okay.
So, ooh, the
I'm
final
gonna say
four words.
Follow where you lead. It'll be the song. No.
No, it couldn't be. Should we? We can't overthink.
Here's the thing. I know what the last one is going to be.
You do?
I do.
Oh,
I've been playing it since the first episode. You guys will just have to find out and wait.
Wait, I'm going to have to find out and wait.
That's right.
Oh, that's right, Kevin
until
Porter.
You're going to have to figure it out until you edit. Be like, oh, I know what it is.
Oh, I can make it anything I want it to be.
Please just edit in a random clip of something.
Oh, that is an interesting question. There will be a final four words of Gilmore, guys.
Yeah.
It might be too bad about bunheads.
I truly think it would be hilarious if you just edited it in. But I always go for chaos, so never mind. I love chaos.
If we want it to be like, this is it, this is the only thing we're going to do podcasting-wise, we're going to put a nice bow on it, then maybe we should put a little thought into that. What the final four words would be.
Okay. We'll just talk about it before we record the last episode. Like, we're not going to be like, we're thinking about this for years.
I've known since 2004 what the final four words are going to be. That's such a good question. That's fun.
All right. I have an email from Tanya here.
Tanya.
Who says, one question for you both. You've both mentioned how much you like seeing more Lane, Paris, Mrs. Kim, townie stories in general. But if there's one kind of ongoing plot or storyline in the series you would get rid of for the revival, what would it be? In order to get a better balance of the storylines you like best. I mean, I've talked a lot about how I don't care about the boyfriend stuff, so I want them to each be addressed with Rory and, like, have scenes with her in which we get to analyze their relationship and they just sort of get a nice bow on that, but I don't care about having the one.
Oh, that was specific to the revival?
Yeah.
I don't know if I need a big Kirk or Michelle storyline.
Yeah.
I don't anticipate that'll be the case.
Right.
Honestly, as much time as they can spend with the three core girls is my jam.
Right.
That would be everything. Like, really, you could sacrifice anything else, and I'd be out. You could sacrifice town meetings, Luke Lorelei stuff, if we get more time with the three girls.
Yeah.
Either together or in their own separate dynamics, I think.
I'm trying to think of what I would truly want to sacrifice. I don't... it's hard to say what I want to sacrifice without knowing what I think they have to do.
Right.
Because I haven't seen the seventh season. But I also think I would want to... Yeah, I'd sacrifice any of... Man, I love townie stories so much, though. I would...
But they're not really stories. They're just bits.
You know what I would truly say? And I hate that I have to say... I think I hate that I would want this. But I would sacrifice any of the wrap-up of Richard.
Really?
I would say I don't want it to be a big thing. I want it to be a nice moment of like 10 minutes in one episode and not like an entire episode dealing with the fallout of like I don't want that to be the catalyst for anything. I want it to be an unfortunate thing that they mention and not like...
But so, you gotta spend more than 10 minutes on it.
I want it to be a nice 10 minutes of like maybe the last part of the first episode being like... them crying about it and having like a weird clip show sort of deal. I don't want it to be like interwoven through all of the first episode of all 90 minutes, them keep bringing up Richard. Cause then it just feels like not exploitative, but sort of just like, I wonder what the original
Toy Story 3.
How so?
In that Toy Story 3 is so emotionally resonant because people grew up with those characters.
Yeah.
And so that's like bringing a gun to a knife fight, storytelling wise.
Yeah. I don't want them to be using that so strongly because then I'm just like, well, what would you have done if he didn't die?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm so interested in the story of how they want to do it and not how they have to do it.
But I don't even know if you can tell Emily's stories without Richard's absence being so felt.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it has to dictate every town meeting. Well, Richard Gilmore's still dead. Like, right. I don't think it has to be
that.
I want
Emily to have more besides dealing with Richard's passing.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's a catalyst for something else.
I don't want it to be.
Well, wait. I thought that's what you were just saying.
No, I don't want it to be.
Oh, you want it to just be, bummer. Okay, anyway, no. DAR.
Well, if it's catalyst for something else,
that's
yes.
what I'm saying.
Then, yeah, I don't want it to be like her... The only storyline she deals with is like how upset she is that Richard is gone. I'm just like, I mean, I will get sad, but I will also just go like, but what story? It will suggest that she has nothing to do besides be with Richard. And I'm just like, that is so upsetting. But presumably he didn't die at the beginning of this. Like he's been dead for a while or maybe. I don't know. don't know what I want. I don't know what I want. I just don't. I don't want them to lean so heavily on Edward Herman's death as a storytelling device, even though I know it's necessary because Emily's whole persona is
absolutely necessary. But I think just for that story, not for the rest.
Right.
I think it's necessary for the three girls.
I don't need them to be arguing and being and say something like, this wouldn't have happened if your father hadn't died. I don't need that, because I'd be like, no, cheap shot. Wasn't like I only want it to be resonant
but
for
Emily. Isn't that kind of
I don't want them to use that to heighten the drama in other arguments. I want, if they are arguing about, like, if Lorelai and Rory are having some argument about her job, I want her to be like, what would your father say? I'd be like, whoa, cheap shot, both from Lorelai and from Amy.
But isn't that just a presence missed?
Yes. I mean, like, I want it to be dealt with, but I don't want it to be used for things that don't seem natural. I don't want her. I don't want anyone.
But then that kind of gets into the heart. I mean, like, do you use it at all? Is using it in any way exploitative?
I mean, to a certain degree, yes. But also, it's super exploitative if it's somewhere it doesn't at least fit. If they are using it directly with Emily,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's not going to be Kirk and Lulu being like, this wouldn't have happened if Richard Gilmore.
No, but
was
I'm saying,
alive.
Like, even if Lorelai and Rory are dealing with it, I'm just like, this doesn't feel like a conflict that I believe. Of, like, someone, of, like, having them have an argument that is unrelated to Richard and then someone bringing up Richard in the argument. I'd be like, this is not, you are just using this to make us feel something, and I don't need that. I only want it to be central. Basically, I want everyone to deal with it, but the only one who really, really should be dealing with it is Emily.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yes, I don't want it to be like, everybody has a little bit of Richard in their dilemmas. It's like, no, because then what was you like? Are you bringing it back because he died?
I think you should depreciate with each generation. Emily yes. the most, Lorelai less, and Rory a little bit lesser.
Right.
I think that would make sense. But I think it has to be the thing where
just needs to be a good balance of it. Like yeah. I don't think it should be synopsis for anyone except Emily.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Big stars holla to Teresa Rebeck, whose publicist sent me her new book because we talked about her on this show.
Yeah.
You saw that email,
I
right?
I did, and I was like,
I'm glad about Smash. You. Smash. They got, after Smash, they got Megan Hilty.
Good. That's great.
Yeah.
Now you only got to get Deborah Messing.
She's not messing around.
Who's the other woman? Catherine McPhee?
Yeah.
God, they have some great women on that show.
Scorpion.
Oh, is she in Scorpion?
Leslie Adam Jr. also on that show.
Yeah, and on Gilmore Girls. We know. We'll get to it.
Yes, we know. We know.
And if you don't know, now you know.
Is that in the...
It's both in a Biggie song and in Hamilton.
Do you think Biggie would have liked Hamilton?
No. What? I'm kidding. I don't...
Do you think people who say they like hip-hop and listen to Hamilton are like people who say I love Italian food and go to Olive Garden?
Ooh, whew, whew. Yes, but also, whew.
I'm not throwing shade. I'm just saying, like...
I mean, that is shade thrown, but, you know...
No, because I think it uses it successfully. But I'm just saying, it's just used as a form.
Right.
Like, it's not... This. I don't listen to Hamilton. I'm like, this is, like, true hip-hop.
I think
rap.
Hamilton is very... I hate to say this because it sounds like... minimalizing it, but it's a very white version of hip-hop, which is like fine.
It feels like 90s, like the
yes.
like it seems
is,
like 90s
it
contemporary
is 90s contemporary hip-hop, which is not bad. It's not modern hip-hop. It uses hip-hop in a beautiful way, and I don't want to belittle it by saying it's not real or anything, but it is also very much cultivated in a way that is palatable to white America as well as being hip-hop.
There's a difference between Hamilton and Kendrick Lamar.
It is absolutely a very little difference, I'll say. It's a good bridge. Well, Kendrick, I think, is... I think it's a pretty small bridge because saying Hamilton is a white hip-hop is sort of undermining it because that puts it in the same league as, like, it's Macklemore, and it's not. But I think it's
Toby Mac.
It is such... It is... Hamilton's the bridge we need between hip-hop and, like, white America where it's like, this is still hip hop, but also use the bridge to get to the other side. Don't just go, what a nice view from the bridge. Ooh. Go all into hip hop. Get into hip hop. Look into the influences just as much as you would be like, oh, it also takes from Les Mis. Just go like, okay, but it also takes from A Tribe Called Quest and fucking Q-Tip and all these other things. Anyway, I got a lot of thoughts about it. Not for this.
Yeah. Hey, remember that time where I tried to be authoritative about rap at all?
No.
Or not authoritative, but just like, oh, it's probably like that. Like, I'm so underqualified.
I don't remember that at all.
That was, no, just in this conversation.
Oh. God damn it. My fucking brain.
Wait, did you really not remember? I
was like, when have you been authoritative about rap?
You forgot what I said before you started talking?
No, I forgot. I didn't know you were talking about what we were just talking about.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Because I was like, well, actually, Kendrick Lamar's this. I think I should know.
I've truly forgotten that we're recording a podcast. This is a problem. This is going to be fun to listen to for everybody.
Fun till the daddy takes a deeper away. Oh, I've never confessed this on the show. I think my brother, when he started dating the woman who is now my sister-in-law, called her Ace.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of people will still write to us about the Ace nickname. And, like, it doesn't taint my view of Logan. Like, my view was tainted before and after that.
If you're not on board, that's not the thing that's like, well...
I don't hate him because of the Ace. I hate him, and also he does this thing that is just personally... Like, I just don't think it's a good nickname. I get it. It's not that I don't get the significance of what an Ace reporter is.
Right.
It's truly just that I think it's a stupid nickname. Which is fair. Like, I have stupid nicknames for friends, too. I have a friend that I call B-Dog. As in, like, a dog wearing a bee costume.
What's their name?
Brianna.
Oh.
But it's like, I started it as calling her B-Dog, like B-Dog, and then we found out about B-Dogs.com, and I started calling her B-Dog.
B-Dogs.
And
B-Dogs.com.
She hates it, and I think it's very funny, and I hate it, but I still do it in earnest. So, you know, nicknames are stupid. It doesn't matter. Having a nickname is what's the sweet thing, but still, I think, like, that's just so stupid. And she doesn't seem to like it at first, so whatever. I have a question from someone if we want to wrap it up on this.
Yes,
or
sir.
Or do you got one?
No, I don't have one.
All right. Sarah writes in saying that, here, I'll just summarize it. Basically, she's saying, for Rory, while she doesn't need the approval of everyone else in her life, she probably does care at least what people like Paris, Lane, Lorelai, Luke, Emily, and Richard think of her boyfriends.
Mm-hmm.
However, what about Michelle? Who would he think is best? Who would Zach prefer for Rory? So it's fun to think of what other people in town would believe to be the best boyfriend for Rory.
Michelle would prefer Logan because he's the most elite.
Yes. He would like, which one of them can get you the fanciest shampoos?
Yeah. Which one can get you the VIP tickets to the Celine Dion concert?
That's true. And me.
At the Staples Center.
Which one could get us all VIP tickets? Maybe a meet and greet with Celine.
Let's all go together. And then I think Zach would go for Jess because he identifies with him the most.
Punk Planet.
Hey, you're living on Punk Planet too, right, man?
They also would probably bond over not liking Vanessa Branch.
Who? Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Wait, who?
Vanessa, am I saying? Carlton. Michelle Branch, Vanessa Carlton. I'm racist.
I thought you said Melissa Branch.
Yeah.
And I was going to be like, Branch, who? I think Taylor would go for Dean, although Michael Winters was very polemical about his answer.
he was refusing to give an answer, which is fun. And I wish I could have been like, if I don't get to do that, you don't get to do that. I think Taylor would go for Dean just because it doesn't rock the boat.
He trusts him. He's worked for him for many, many years.
That's very true.
Stirring there's some the nepotism cheese sauce. There.
Doing a terrible job.
I've seen that boy stir cheese sauce. I'm sure he can stir your cheese sauce.
He gave me a 50 cent CD for my birthday.
50 cent.
Yeah. Huh. Well, Kirk would... Who would Kirk like? Dean's probably the nicest to Kirk. Jess definitely doesn't like Kirk, and Logan couldn't give a shit about Kirk.
I think maybe Kirk would go for Marty because he's like, I get it.
Oh,
I get it, man.
The underdog who never got a chance.
I know what it's like. I tried to do duck soup and chill with Lulu, and she hated it.
Maybe because I got the real duck soup. I actually got duck soup.
I killed a duck and used the blood as the soup.
I forgot she was a vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I think I would love to see that Marty is back in the revival, and also he's just got like a wonderful girlfriend that he loves that is not Rory, and Rory's like jealous of him.
Oh, yeah, that'd be infuriating.
Yeah, for everyone involved.
And then the last character would be... What, didn't Rose have to say Dean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Would Gypsy like Dean? Everyone in the town seems like they would like Dean. Is there anyone?
Because he's like hometown hero, even though he's from Chicago.
Is there anyone?
Oh, we didn't even bring that up when we were in Chicago. Whoops.
I'm sure someone else did from the audience. Yeah. Did Dean? Did and is there anyone in Stars Hollow that would prefer Jess
or Luke. Logan?
Really, you think Luke would prefer Jess
to Dean? He freaking hates Dean.
Oh yeah,
dude.
He hates Dean,
and he does not care for Logan.
Well, has he seen Logan again since the bedroom
incident? 513?
No, he has not. That's fun.
Yeah. And Scott Patterson was just like, no, not him. When we were talking to him about it.
I would like to think that Luke just would be in the same camp of like, God, does she need a man? Like, just... he's so paternal of Rory that he would hate any boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd be the guy wearing the big dog shirt that's like, whatever you do to my daughter, I'm going to do to you.
The big dog shirt.
It's not a big dog shirt, but I just imagine big dogs as having any sort of weird patriotic, like not even patriotic, just like weird southern paternal or jingoistic slogans. I see a dog with sunglasses pointing through like a third.
Whatever you do to my daughter.
Like a 3D view, yeah. Any sort of aggressive slogan. It's like, put it on a dog.
Aggressive slogan, Huntsberger. And I think Babette and Miss Patty would say Jess.
Yeah, because he's the
sexiest. Because, I mean, the sex has got to be...
You always want to go for a smoker. They really overdo it on the and trying to keep the lung capacity.
I don't know.
Well, what about the lung capacity?
Something about how they have to overcompensate for low lung capacity. That's what they'd say.
Oh, man. And then Andrew would say... All of them at the same time.
Andrew is like, which one of them's bought books for me? Jess. Jess.
Oh, that's true. That'd be the metric.
Yeah,
he bought giving me the most business.
He bought an Al Franken book for me once. I like that kid.
Franken book. Oh, yo. Oh, such a cool book for him to read.
Yeah.
He bought an Al Franken book.
Politics.
Oliver Twist and Punk Planet. He's all right with me.
Yeah.
All right. This has been, should we call this something different?
I truly don't know.
What do you think, Gillies?
I miss Ben. I miss everyone that's ever been on this show.
That was so sincere.
Yeah.
Demi just looked at me and said, with no like smile on his face, he was like, I miss Ben.
He's not dead or anything. We can have him on the show. We will. But I don't know. Just when you said that, I was like,
we should invite him to one of these.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think, Gillies?
Good. Yeah, but what should we call it? Should we keep calling them Gilmails or call them the Bit Zone? We could call them Bit Zones.
We could call them Bit Zones, but I just
feel
like...
What would be on brand? Because Ramble Zone is not an established
nothing.
Thing.
I literally only am thinking about this one because it just felt so off track. But I don't know. Sometimes people don't care and sometimes people...
Like Stars Hollow After Hours, are we calling it?
I truly just think Gilmail Guys.
Just keep calling it Gilmail.
Gilmail. I think, I don't know, by 0.14, people are either in for it or not.
True.
Yeah. La 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 la
la la la.
I didn't know what song was gonna play, so she's like, just sing a song. La 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 la.
Email your questions, feedback, your hatred to demi@digiweebay@gmail.com.
You can do that.
Or gilmoreguysshow@gmail.com.
Either one.
On Twitter and Instagram @GilmoreGuysShow. That's Electro Lemon. I'm Kevin T. Porter.
I changed my name legally. It is Electro Lemon now.
Oh my god, I know. Your driver's license is cool now. They let them. The DMV let him retake the picture holding a lemon and a plug.
He let me upload my avatar.
I see you.
Jake Sully?
Avatar.
Yeah.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.